everyone. Are you ready to grow into an emotionally healthy adult? Who's ready? Who's ready? I'm ready. I'm ready. Okay, we're going to find some truth in the Word today. And I pray that as we go into the Word and hear this story that we've heard many times, that we will glean new truth from it. So as Jill and Gabby said, we are in the Emotionally Healthy Spirituality Series. And last week we learned about resilience. When we press into resilience, we become stronger. We flex those muscles. We can lift more weight, more emotional weight. And it's not traumatic for us because we're journeying through with other people, with our friends, with our life group, with our teams, and of course, with Jesus Christ. Well, this past week, Brent and I were in the doctor's office, and at the reception desk, I saw this message. Love is the closest thing we have to magic. Love is the closest thing. Well, Jesus performed miracles, right? But he changed the world with his love. With his love, the way he loved people, the way he saw people, the way he listened to people, changed the world. He knew how to love without strings, without expectations, so that people could grow. They could grow in the way of Jesus. Well, he was the expert at that. He is our model. But I was trying to find something a little comical because becoming emotionally mature, we have to learn to laugh at ourselves, right? We can't just be too serious. So I thought of Freaky Friday. Freaky Friday. You guys have seen this, right? We have Lindsay Lohan and Jamie Lee Curtis. Jamie Lee is the mom. Lindsay Lohan is the teenage daughter. Well, what happens? They are in constant arguments. They're competing with one another. They can't empathize with one another's roles. Anyone relate? Teenage kids, kids, adult kids. And they just really couldn't appreciate one another's roles. So at some point, fate has them switch into the other person. And Lindsay, the teenager, becomes mom. And Jamie Lee Curtis, a mom, who's a psychiatrist and a published author on emotional health, becomes the teenage daughter. And so they are forced to cope living in the other person's shoes. Well, Lindsay is totally freaked out. She's like, Mom, I can't be a psychiatrist. What do you do all day, Mom? And Mom says, oh, listen, you've got this. You just answer the phone. When a client comes in, have them be seated. How was your week? And then they'll tell you, you take your notes on your iPad. And then when they stop and pause, you just say, now, how do you feel about that? And take down the notes. That's all you have to do. And so you see this picture, you know, of, yeah, it's pretty comical. But who has the real difficulty? It's Mom. Mom being at the high school, what these stories that her daughter has told her about the mean girls are true. And even more so, one of her teachers is a former friend that she turned down for a prom date. And somehow this is affecting her daughter's grade. Well, as she associates with these mean girls, she thinks, well, and she's told her daughter, if you just treat them nicely, they'll be nice to you. Well, she finds out that does not work. And she gets so angry with this girl that she puts wrong answers on this girl's test and writes, I'm stupid. She sinks to a new level of emotional unhealth, and she's the healthy psychiatrist. It's pretty funny. But when did they switch back? It's when they can see one another through sacrificial love, through selfless love. And this is what we are practicing on. Loving people the way God loves you takes practice. God knows how to love imperfect people like me, like all of us. And this love requires a lot of grace. He gives us the freedom to differ, to fail, and then to grow. Well, let's go to God in prayer. Holy God, this is an interesting lesson, growing in emotional health. And yet it's one that our Lord did so well and has gone before us and taught us. God, as we read these scriptures in honor, God, of your holy word. Would you open our ears to listen attentively? Would you open our eyes, God, to how we can see our neighbor in a new light? In Jesus' name, amen. So would you turn to Luke 10, please? Luke 10, 25. All right. One day, an expert in religious law stood up to test Jesus by asking him this question. Teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus replied, well, what does the law of Moses say? How do you read it? And the man answered, well, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. Right, Jesus says. Do this, man, and you will live. But the man wanted to justify his actions, so he asked Jesus, well, who is my neighbor? So what has Jesus told him, or what has the man told Jesus? I am supposed to love God with all my heart, soul, and mind. Well, what does that mean? Love God with all your muscle, with every ounce of strength that you have. Then love your neighbor as yourself. So loving another person is an investment, right? It's not easy because we reserve our best love, our fullest love for our family, for our neighbors, for our best friends, for those people who are like us, those people who are similar, who don't have differing opinions. They're easy to get along with. And, you know, let's be frank, loving your neighbor isn't all neat and tidy. It can be messy, right? But Jesus asks us to love one another with all our imperfections and quirks. So, you know, Brent might have thought my gum chewing habit 30 years ago was pretty cute. I don't know, you can ask him. Now, not so much. Well, your spouse is your neighbor. In case you're questioning that, your spouse is your neighbor. The people in your family are your neighbor. The people at your workplace are your neighbor. Let's consider another scenario. So we have Macy, a young woman, about 30 years old. She works in a high-profile marketing company. She's worked hard to get where she is. She loves spinning ideas, selling ideas to prospective clients. And her supervisor sends her an email saying, Macy, I want you to identify some dates when you can travel. And so Macy immediately replies with an email. And a few days go by, a few more days, and she doesn't hear back from her supervisor. What is happening? So she calls the administrative assistant. You know, I sent in this email to the supervisor saying this is when I'm free, but I haven't heard back. And so the assistant looks at the calendar and she says, well, all these campaigns have already been filled. So I guess he doesn't need you right now. So Macy is stunned. She doesn't know what to say. She just, okay, thank you. She is in a daze. What did she do wrong? And then she becomes angry and frustrated. She doesn't have any idea what has happened. And so she spends more time at the gym working through her anxiety. She wrestles with God saying, God, please intervene. Please tell me what to do. Give me a campaign. I want to travel. I want to gain some new clients for my company. She loses sleep, and then she begins to isolate, distance herself from her coworkers who are her friends. And when she sees the supervisor coming down the hall, she turns around abruptly and walks the other way. She doesn't know how to relate to people in an emotionally healthy way. Now, she has, to her credit, continued with faith rhythm. She hasn't totally isolated herself from people at church. And she's mentioned the hurt that she's in, but she can't quite move through it. She doesn't know how to navigate through this conflict within herself. Now, her pattern in the past has been whenever there's a conflict with a friend, a boyfriend, a family member, she avoids it. She either sweeps it under the rug or she walks the other direction and ends the relationship. Well, Peter Scazzaro, the author of the book we've been studying and reading, says this is a symptom of unhealth when we have great difficulty entering into the lives of others. We distance ourselves. We can't see eye to eye like the mother and daughter. They couldn't see, they couldn't appreciate one another's roles. They were having difficulty with relating to one another. And in Macy's case, she's having problems isolating the facts. Whenever she thinks about it, it's all this negativity and adversity. She can't break through. Well, I think maybe Macy needs a mentor. What do you think? Maybe she needs a mentor or a team leader to walk along beside her and to advise her and to encourage her. Now, Macy's heard the recent sermon on Luke 10:27, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. But there's this big gap between what she hears and what she knows how to apply. How do those two things connect? Who is Macy's neighbor? Who is our neighbor? Who is the religious man's neighbor? So Jesus replies with a story. So if you go back to the scripture, let's pick up in verse 30. Everyone take out their phones or the Bible in front of them. Verse 30. Jesus replied with a story. A Jewish man was traveling from Jerusalem down to Jericho. He's attacked by bandits. You guys know this story. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him up, and left him half dead beside the road. By chance, a priest comes along. Well, he sees the man lying there, but he crosses to the other side of the road. Then the temple assistant walks over to the man, sees him lying there, and he crosses over, makes a diagonal to the other side of the road. Then a despised Samaritan. Samaritans and Jews did not get along. A Samaritan sees the man. He feels compassion. Going over to him, the Samaritan soothed his wounds with olive oil, disinfected them with wine, and bandaged them. Then he put the man on his donkey and took him to an inn where he took care of him. The next day he handed the innkeeper 2 silver coins, telling him, "Take care of this man. If his bill runs higher than this, I'll pay you the next time I'm here." Now, which of these three would you say was a neighbor to the man who was attacked by bandits? Jesus asked. The man replied. What does he say? The one who showed him mercy. Yes. Now go and do the same. The parable challenged the religious man's definition of who was his neighbor. Well, you know what? Love can be a harsh reality that asks for more than you know how to give. Ask for more than I know how to give. It takes time, compassion, emotional energy to see. Really see your neighbor like Jesus does. And so Jesus tells this parable to address a gap. Something was not happening. There was a disconnect in this man's life between his study of scripture and how he related to his neighbor. He wasn't having compassion. Well, as we look at the story, the priests were Jewish. The man in the ditch is Jewish, yet they did not have enough emotional bandwidth to stop. It's the Samaritan who stops to care for him. He's not afraid to call this Jewish man his brother and provide care. The Samaritan had compassion, but he had limits. He had limits. What does he do? He pays the owner to take care of him and goes on about his business. He takes care of him in the moment, but then he provides for his needs and goes on down the road. Well, for us, we can become so entangled in busyness and commitments, we have absolutely no margin to enter into the harsh reality of loving others. And so the outcome of this is we become so selective in who we choose as our neighbor, people like us. People who won't disappoint us. People who won't fail us. People who will love us all the time, and they never have emotional baggage. Where does this neighbor live? In our head, this neighbor does not exist unless it's Jesus Christ himself, right? We are all under transformation. all of us, each one of us. And Jesus asks us to see our neighbor in the image of God. Emotionally healthy love sees each person in the image of God. So now, what happens then if you differ in political views, in football teams, with your teenager on what qualifies as a clean room? Are we offended? Are we irritated when they disagree with us? You know, if we live in this space of being easily offended, we may not be connecting our love for God with our love for our neighbor in our relationships. There could be a wall, an obstacle that prevents us from seeing our neighbor in the image of God. Jesus saw others in the image of his Father. He saw the woman at the well. He saw the woman who was washing and anointing his feet. He saw Zacchaeus up in the tree when he was completely overlooked by everyone else. And Jesus invited himself to Zacchaeus' house for dinner. Jesus knew how to see wounds, failures, differences, ethnicities, and he loved them all, just as he loves us. So how can we live into this? What can we do? How can we get some traction in loving our neighbor? We can begin practicing the I-thou relationship. Tell that to the person next to you. I'm going to practice the I-thou relationship. Go ahead. Okay, now let's find out what that is. Now that you've said you're going to do it. Okay, so you know the King James language. Saith, heareth, thou. It's serious. It's reverent. I think God's telling us, listen up. Listen up, kids. This is what I want you to do. So when we consider someone as a thou, we're seeing them in the image of God. It's the opposite of seeing a person as an it. An it is something you use like a car to get where you're going. That's not how we want to see people or treat people. This might look like I come into work and I dump all my work on my personal assistant's desk and I don't even say hello. It could be when someone gives me constructive feedback and I immediately become offended. They just insulted my character. So I'm going to start seeing them as an it. Or I'm frustrated because someone disagreed with me in politics. Imagine that. So I start seeing them as an it. Or maybe I expect my spouse and my kids to act in a certain way, believe exactly what I believe, and if they don't, I become offended. Just kind of like the mom and daughter did in Freaky Friday. Well, when people don't fit into our expectations, then we become frustrated. But God asks us to see each other as a thou, to give people space to differ, to give people space to fail, and then to grow. When we see one another as a thou, the presence of God, guys, the very presence of God is invited into the relationship. My world and your world are connected by a sacred space. And we see each other as an eternal vow. So in that sacred space, in a genuine relationship where love is being poured out, the love of Christ, there are traces of eternal vow, of God's presence. And could we see the image? Yes. So there we can get an image in our head, a visual of what this looks like. Our lives are fused together by the presence of God. When we practice seeing people in the image of God, God's presence manifests. He is there with us. You see, Jesus refused to separate this idea of how he saw God the Father and how he saw friends, his disciples, who were a little crazy sometimes, right? They're a little aggressive sometimes. They're a little ambitious. God, Jesus, who can sit beside you when you reach your glory? Some of them were skeptics. One of them betrayed him. But he saw them in the image of God, and he always treated them as a thou. Jesus delighted in people. He delighted in eating with the tax collectors, the sinners, talking to lepers, and helping the blind see, even the Pharisees. Well, in this sacred space of I-thou relationships, I have less emotional allergies. Do you know what an emotional allergy is? It's those irritating triggers of unmet expectations or disappointments. You know, someone forgets your birthday, or this one's really bad. Someone mistreats an animal. It makes you really angry. Someone cancels you on social media. Or maybe, you know, you're blaming the grocery store because they didn't get home. They didn't sack all your groceries. When you get home, you find out you need that one ingredient. But then a week later, you realize from the smell of your car that, no, they did bag it and it's still there. No. That's happened to me. So you just become frustrated with yourself, right? You got to have a little humor, a little patience with yourself too, not just with other people. So our emotional allergies receive a big dose of Holy Spirit antihistamine. So they're not always frustrated. We're not always irritated. We're seeing one another as a thou, in the image of God, as each person was created. Now, in this I-thou relationship, we gain confidence to address conflict instead of isolating, like our friend Macy was, to protect. I mean, that's a common mechanism, right, to cope. We isolate because we don't want to be hurt anymore. But God asks us to move forward. He also asks us not to live in a skewed reality of pretending conflict doesn't exist, or living in our head in a world of assumptions. You know, I can tell what this person's thinking. I know what they thought. I know that what they thought when I did that. No, we don't know what they thought. We don't. Don't live there, because that is not healthy. We cannot read someone else's mind. Well, Jesus promised, you know, that peacemakers would be blessed. But he did not promise that we would escape from conflict or trials, did he? He actually promised that we would go through trials, that we would go through conflict. And he did not practice false peacemaking by ignoring conflict. You know, imagine you're at a restaurant with eight other friends, and they've all ordered steaks, but you're on a budget, so you order a salad with water. And then at the end, they say, oh, we're going to divvy this up because it's going to take way too long for each person to pay their bill. And you're dying inside because, like, there goes my budget. There goes my money. But if you don't speak up, you're a false peacemaker. You're not addressing it. So how can we love others at all times? Well, we're not going to try to appease popular opinion so that no one can be upset. We are going to practice addressing conflict. Jesus is the Prince of Peace, and he addressed conflict. How often? How often did Jesus address conflict? A lot, right? Practically all the time. He lived in emotional health, loving his neighbor as God loved him. So I want us to gain some traction in this by having some real steps, and I hope that you will write these down on your bulletin. I can see you all. I know who's writing and who's not. That's okay. There's a lot of grace. Okay. So steps to growing in emotional health. Practice the I-thou relationship. See the other person in the image of God. This means I'm using first person singular, not plural. I'm taking responsibility for my actions, for my beliefs, and from what I said. I'm not saying we did this or we believe this. Okay? I'm going to listen carefully. I'm going to put my agenda on hold so I can really pay attention to what you're saying. Now, in this one, we need to have impact our emotional baggage. It's very helpful because I cannot hold someone else's story and listen well until I learn to hold my own story and unpack those emotions. Because you know what happens? Someone's telling me their story, and what's going on in my head? My own reel of my own narrative. And so I'm going back and forth and determining what I'm going to say next. I'm not really listening the way Jesus listened because I still haven't dealt with my own story. Please take time to sit with God. Just to sit with Him and receive. Lift it up. People you're having conflict with, lift them up in peace. And then ask God, what's my next step here? How can I address this in a loving way and practice the I-thou relationship? Give others the freedom to differ. Give others the freedom to fail so that they can grow. And you know what? In the process, we grow too. You grow and I grow when we offer one another that grace. That is part of seeing your neighbor as the thou. Stop mind reading. Check out those assumptions. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Go with them in the love of Jesus, in the peace of Jesus, and just say, now I've just been wondering what you thought about this or how this affected you. Find out what they're thinking. And then move on. Lift it up to God. So often, communication solves all of our problems. Have you found that to be true? It's non-communication that causes the problem. Clarify expectations. Have we ever had expectations that weren't met? Did we voice them, vocalize them? Don't expect people to read your mind. Expectations are only valid when they've been mutually agreed upon and confirmed. Don't come back and say, now we talked about this. Okay, you're right, we did talk about it, but was it confirmed? Was it mutually agreed upon? So growing in emotional health, ask for intentionality to see your neighbor in the image of God, to love others as God loves you. Well, at the exact moment I was reading the scripture of loving my neighbor as God loves me, there was a knock on the office door this past week. And it was just Jill and I, Jill the media minister. We were both there. And I felt comfortable opening the door because she was there. And so I opened the door and there's this gentleman there. And he might have been homeless. He was on a bicycle. And he just wanted to talk. He had some questions. He noticed that the barn was gone. And he had some questions about the property, about our property. And I said, you know what? You can come join us on Sunday morning. We have two services. The doors open at 8:30. We have hot coffee and snacks. And we have a service midweek. And we just talked probably for 8 minutes. And then he went on his way. Well, that was my neighbor. That was my neighbor. You know, I wish that I could have done more for him. But what I felt the Spirit was telling me, no, you did what you could. You contributed. You saw him. You really listened. And that's what I ask you to do. I'm asking you, Serena, to have a willing heart. To stop what you're doing. To answer the door when I knock. Well, then the next day, I went to Crossroads to get lunch. And in the parking lot, someone was selling some little rose pins, and I wanted to buy one. And this woman's name was Kathy. And I said, Kathy, this is awesome. Thank you. Thank you for this gift. And we started talking. She told me about her life and invited her to church. So we have two services on Sunday. Will you come? And I said, Kathy, we have a service midweek called Ash Wednesday. And she said, oh, is that when they put ashes on your forehead? And I said, yes, it is. And she said, I'm going to be there. I missed that. What if I would have been too busy? Because you know what? That's happened. It's happened when I haven't stopped. when I've had my own agenda to complete. But you know what? It wasn't God's agenda. It was my own. I wasn't stopping to see people in the image of God. Let's see each other in the image of God. Give people freedom to differ, to fail, and to grow. So with whom can you practice the I-thou relationship? Who can you see as a thou? Who can you let the love of God cascade through your life over into their life? What does God ask of you in this process of growing in emotional health? God asks for a willing heart. Let's go to Him in prayer. Holy God, you have taught me through this lesson. And Father, I just pray that as we leave from this place, we would begin to see each person as our neighbor. That we would see each person as a thou made in the image of you, Lord. God, thank you for your strength and for your grace that fills us as we look to you and as we make you Lord. In Jesus' name, God's church said, amen.